portion of scripture that I'll be preaching from here this morning. God is, we read it, give us a focus on what we'll have before us today and something to think about. And it's more than just to think about, it's how is God going to use his word in my life this morning? That is really where we're at with his word all the time. When we hear it, what does God want to do with his word? Comes from Matthew chapter 5. It's just part of the Sermon on the Mount. And it is found on page 1378 in your pew Bible. You got your own Bible, I don't know what page it's on. But you'll have to find it yourself. Matthew, New Testament, chapter 5, verse is 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel or a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen. Remember, as we begin with the Beatitudes, beginning of chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus is teaching, and the important thing is that he wants his followers, his disciples, the believers, the Christians, to first understand that you need to be before you do the things that he teaches. So you need to be a honeyman, which I don't think he's here today. He's out of Texas. You got to mix honey. There's a lot of, what am I to be? What am I to be like? And we find the Sermon on the Mount. Like, be poor in spirit. Or another way to say that is to be humble. God always looks for people who are humble. The world looks for people who are proud, boisterous, arrogant. But that's not Jesus' way. Last Sunday, we looked at where it said to be salt. And today, now we'll look at to be light. I appreciate Bob bringing that to us today, like a little light of mine. I know all of you had to go like this, keep your hand down, because you know, you already sung it with this little light of mine. And don't blow it out. And, oh no, don't cover the light. You know, those kinds of actions that went with it. Hundreds of years ago, when we were there. Be a light. This reminds me of a wife who invited some people over for dinner. And at the table, she turned to her six-year-old daughter and said, "Honey, would you like to pray for the meal?" "Oh, Mom, I wouldn't know what to say." "Well, just say what you hear Mommy say." So the daughter bowed her head and said, "Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people?" Be careful. Be careful what you say. Especially when it comes to kids. Jesus makes an incredible statement here when he says, "You are the light of the world." Who is he talking to? You and me. Especially if we are Christians, we claim to be Christians, we are Christians, we are a believer, we are following Jesus, that's who he's talking to. If you're here today and you're not a believer, well then just go to sleep. But he's talking to believers in hopes that we then would catch catch what he's saying, and then by his help, go out and to be that light, to shine in those that are walking in darkness. Some of you here remember those days when you walked in darkness. And maybe you're still walking in darkness today. But it's not a good place to be in life. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of stumbling around. There's no better place to be than in the light. Imagine what it would be like even right now here in the sanctuary if there was no light. And it was just complete darkness. I don't think you'd come back the next Sunday if you thought, if that's the way it's going to be, forget it. But look at, if you're able to have eyes that can be able to focus and see, it's a comfort when there's light. Jesus will not allow us to sidestep the subject of witnessing. Do you like that word, witnessing? You know, I can't say that I was very good at that. Or if I am very good at that. In Bible college, they made us, well, I shouldn't say they made us, you're supposed to volunteer, of course, being the spiritual ones, would go to other towns to witness for another church. Which meant you go door to door. All I could say was it was fun going from the Bible college to the town. And from the town going back to the school. But to actually go door to door was just not my thing. I would pray that there'd be no one who would answer the door when I would knock. When I pushed the doorbell, I pray that no one would come and answer the door. Because my tongue would swell. They kind of go like, yes, what do you want? I go like, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. And so what are you here for? I just fumbled around. I was supposed to give you something here about the church service. And I mean, I just was no good at it. And when I come to a home that there were Christians there, they'd go like, well, we're glad to hear that you're here and that you're representing a church to invite. We've got our own church, but hey, come on in, let's talk a while. I go like, okay, let's talk for a long time. I wouldn't have to do this thing. I don't know if you're like that or not, but door-to-door just isn't my thing. It's changed some since I've been a pastor for many years. It's just going to greet people and thank people if you've seen them for the first time or getting to meet them. I don't mind it at all. But if you do have a Jehovah's Witness come to your door and knock, I just advise you, don't answer it. Because it happened once, our daughter came home for a weekend from college, or she was there for a while, and we were gone. And she said, oh, Mom and Dad, I forgot to tell you that somebody stopped by the house today. I go, well, who was it? I don't know, but they left this. And I said, oh, it's with the shirt. I go, like, yep, it's the watchtower. I go, it's Jehovah's Witnesses. Why did you answer the door? I didn't know who it was. I said, well, you know what that means? If they've come and they've given you literature, that means they're going to be back. 2 weeks later, they were. And they always take a lot of time, and I don't have time to talk to you guys, because no matter what I say, you're not going to listen to what I have to say anyway. I can share my testimony of how Jesus changed my life and let it go at that. But Jesus is talking about being a light. You are a light of the world. And one of those ways is telling others about him. The sad part is this, is that you can be here today and physically have eyesight and see things around you, and yet you can still be spiritually blind. I mean, is that possible? Oh, yeah. Even if you've been to church for many, many years, yeah, you can still be blind. spiritually. You can come to church and still not want to believe in the truth of what we find in the scriptures or the things that Jesus taught or God speaks to us in his word. You just kind of put up with it. And you see that pastors come and pastors go. I'll probably be one of those too. One day they'll be like, okay, I'm going. You'll get a new pastor. But God's word will never return void. Jesus called the Pharisees in Matthew, the same book we're in, Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. He called the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders of the day of Jesus, and he said to them that they're a bunch of blind guides. A blind man who leads a blind man, they both will fall into a pit. And he's referring to the Pharisees. Those that would follow them, they're going to both fall into the pit. They could physically see, but they were spiritually blind. Only the gospel can open our eyes to see spiritually, and there'd be no gospel if we didn't have Jesus Christ. The gospel is good news. Is that it tells us what God has done for us through his Son, by dying on the cross and rising again on the third day. And by rising again, he is admitting that he is victorious over sin, death, and Satan. That's the gospel. Jesus brings it all to us. He did it all for us. It's like the hymn that many of you are aware of, Amazing Grace. Remember one of the verses says, I once was blind, but now I see. And I have to admit to you that that's the way it was for me once upon a time in my life. I tried reading the Bible. The Gideons would come and give their little Bibles to us. It was in the fifth grade. And I said, I'm going to read this thing. And I started reading it.
She probably wants to get started.
And it was as dry as dust. No matter how what I read, it just didn't make any sense to me. So I just didn't read it anymore after that. And now I understand. It's because I just didn't know Jesus. Because once I came to know Christ as my Savior, I'd open up the Bible and go like, whoa! Now it makes sense. I understand what it's saying. So if you're here today and you go like, I don't read the Bible because it doesn't make any sense to me, I can relate to you. But it came down to my relationship with God at that time. I didn't have one. I didn't even know what that was about. No one ever explained that to me. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are more than just a reflection, like the moon is from the sun. You know, the moon is just a reflection of what the sun is shining on. But we are more than just a reflection of Jesus Christ, that he lives in us, and so does his Holy Spirit. And so the quality of your light, the quality of my light, does not depend on who I am. It depends on the one who is the light, who is Jesus. If it wouldn't be for him, I would have no light. But Jesus himself says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And John, that's in John 8. 22. I mean, John 8, 12, forgive me. And we're not to hide this light. When Jesus comes into our life, we are to be the light of those who are in darkness. It's not to be hidden. Because Jesus' light is a life changer in so many ways. That we are to let our light shine before men, women, and children that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. So I just want to ask, look at light for just a moment here this morning. What does light do? And hopefully you can glean from this something that is that'll catch you or grab your heart today in light of Jesus being the light of the world. But one of the first things that light does is, you know, light attracts. A city on a hill is a wonderful sight for someone who is traveling. At nighttime, if you don't know where you're at, you love to see the lights of a town. In the wintertime, when you got heavy or low cloud cover, you can see a city a long ways off because it kind of shows a lightness up in the clouds of where that town or that city is. And if you don't know where you're at, you're going like, well, I know that that's got to be a place where there's people, maybe a gas station or some place to eat, or I can at least find out some information if I feel I'm lost. Like, what town is this? Where am I at? What state am I in? In the spring and summer, when we turn on the outside light of our homes, what happens? Bugs, mosquitoes, millers, beetles, anything that's got wings, starts flying around that light at night. They're attracted to light. If you turn the light off, they won't be there. Of course, you won't see them. But you turn that light on, they'll show up. It won't take long. They'll be there. Light attracts. Does your light attract others to Jesus? Just ask them. Second point is light communicates. Flashing lights tell you that you better slow down, or there could be an accident up ahead. You still would slow down, but the light communicates that something's not quite right. If the lights are flashing behind you, you're probably speeding. Good thing to stop. So it's better if they're in front of you than behind you. If you're expecting someone to come to your house, you will turn the outside light on. You're communicating that you are expecting them to show up. We're helping them. If they see the light, that must be the place where we need to stop, because they said they turned the light on. Light communicates. The third thing that light does is that light reveals. It helps us to see where we're going. If you don't have lights, even if it's in your own house, it's like being in another planet. You forget where things are at. You will bump into things. You will stumble over things. You can fall over things. So light reveals that we can see where we're going. On the farm, if you ever saw a board or a rock, let's say a board. A board that's been laying on the ground for a while, you flip that board over, what's underneath that board? A bunch of other bugs and insects. And do they like the light? No, because as soon as you turn it over, they scramble to get where there's darkness. And that's kind of like sin for us. As sinners, we like to go where the sin is. We don't like the light, because light reveals sin. And sometimes we just don't like that. Sometimes it makes us angry. But yeah, to something simple like turning a board over and seeing things scramble, God can use in your life of saying, you know, people would rather live in darkness than to live in the light. The last thing that light does is it's given. This light is given. It comes to us through Jesus. Whoever wants this light can have it. Whoever wants this light can receive it. Because salvation is the light that God wants to give to anyone and everyone. That's why he sent his son. Take the light, help them to see it. It's good news. Light gives a real good welcome to those who have been walking in darkness. The fact is, what Jesus is teaching here in this Sermon on the Mount is that we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Don't have to go to Tanzania, which I'm glad that Patty does. Don't have to go to Haiti, but I'm glad Richard goes there. But we're to be the light. The majority of us are to be the light here in this community and in this area. And there's other ways too. How are we doing? I put in the bulletin here a couple of weeks ago, if Harbor of Joy did not exist, would this community miss us? And the more I think of it, I go like, oh yeah. There's a lot of things that you do in this church that are out in the community that a lot of people have no idea. My wife runs into people and says, well, yeah, we moved here from North Dakota. My husband's a pastor at Harbor of Joy. And they go like, never heard of the place. Where's Harbor of Joy at? And I go, really? We have somewhat of an identity crisis. A lot of people have no idea who Harbor of Joy is. But they will. They will. Just like salt makes a difference, so does light. You are the light of the world. You will make a difference when you live for Jesus. Actions speak louder than words. Here is the old VBS song I was telling you about. Are you ready for this one? It goes like this. Are you saved and you know it? Clap your hands. Are you saved and you know it? Clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. Then it goes on and says, you know, then you stomp your feet. And you do that for a while, you stomp your feet. The next verse, it goes on, then you turn around. And then the very last verse, it says, now do all three. That's complicated. And it's just a good little song where I, you know, you can sing that song and have no idea what you're singing. Until the light gets turned on. In your brain and in your heart. And then it makes sense. Jesus is the light of the world. Whosoever comes, anyone who comes, even walking in darkness, he will give light. He'll give you the light of life. It's a good place to be. I hope you're not here this morning just playing the game called church. It's not a game. It's for real. God is interested in who you are, and he's interested in your soul. wants you to be in heaven with him. And you can do absolutely nothing. Because there's going to be a lot of people who will never do anything in their whole lives, and they'll find themselves in hell. There'll be a lot of people there. I didn't do anything. I can't believe I'm here. Well, you were warned. You were told. You had the opportunity to hear. You'd hear some Christian stations on your radio, and you turned that off. You could have bought some Christian music, put it in your CD player. You didn't. You didn't go to church. Or maybe you did go to church, but you never heard the gospel, because our churches are like that too. It's not on what you do. It has a lot of what you are being. What's inside your heart. Therefore, looking at what I said about light, it attracts, it communicates. My life will attract others by what I say and what I do, but more importantly, it's going to be how you say it and how you do it. Because we can turn people off pretty easily. How you do it and how you say it is very important. Tactfully, lovingly. I will communicate to others the light of my life as they watch me live my life. We don't always know when we're being watched. And we may be the only Bible that somebody will ever read. As they watch us, or they listen to us. My life may cause some people to become uncomfortable. Because light penetrates and reveals darkness. But I am the light of the world, and therefore my life must touch another person or other people so that they may see Christ, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So I leave you with this today. Let your lives shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. Let it shine. If you've got the light. If you don't have the light, let's make that happen now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this prayer is for anyone here today that is lost, living in darkness, allowing sin to control his or her life. And he or she knows it. They can put on a false front to family members, to people around them, even in their own church. But they themselves know they're not right with you. And so, Lord, we just come in hopes and giving that opportunity today that this can be the day that that can be turned around by saying a simple prayer such as this. Heavenly Father, you have found me out today. I recognize that I am a sinner. I've been just playing the game called church. If I had it my way, I wouldn't even be here. But I come because someone invited me, or my family thought that I needed to be here, and so rather than causing a big ruckus, it's easier just to come. But Lord, I admit to you today that I am a sinner. And I need your forgiveness in my heart and my life. And I just ask you to come, to be the Lord and the Savior that you are to me. I may not understand everything, but this I do understand is that I want you to be my light. So come into my heart, may you start shining in me and through me in ways that I have no idea what that even means. But your word says that you are the light of the world, and I will not walk in darkness anymore because you live in me. You give me the light of life. That's what I sincerely desire. So thank you for hearing my prayer today. Thank you for forgiving me, and thank you for what you're going to do in and through me today and every day. We ask this in Jesus' name.